I'd be ready to be preach. My cell phone was in my bedroom, and I didn't get the message until around 4. So, here we go. No, if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 81, please. Psalm 81. Tonight for the Super Bowl party that was planned for the Wright's house, that's actually going to be moved because Pastor Wright's feeling sick and everything. All of the festivities will be at the parsonage, but I'm just going to give you a warning. The cable system that I have right now is working off the internet and stuff like that, and the internet that I have over there is often quite cranky. And so I've prayed over it, I've blessed it, everything that I think can do to help it work, and so hopefully it will. It was working great this afternoon and everything, so just to let you know, we are having it over there. Those who want to come, feel free to stay, but just know there may be some buffering that takes place. And so I just want to pre-warn everybody before that happens so that if you come, it's not me, it's the internet. So. All right, Psalm 81. In today's society, when generally somebody looks at somebody else and says, wow, that person has a big mouth, that is not usually a compliment. That's not something that people take kindly, something in that way. You often don't look at somebody and say, you need to have a bigger mouth. There was a girl that I used to work with at the snack shop of Bob Jones. And back in the industrial type kitchen, it's loud, it's always a commotion, there's movement there. And this girl, to say she had a bubbly personality, would do her a disservice to saying about her personality. It was above and beyond. It was like an erupting volcano of happiness 100% of the time. It was obnoxiously loud and everything. You could be in the FMA, the main auditorium at Bob Jones, that seats 7,000 people. She would be on the other side of the room, and her regular laugh would happen, and you would know exactly who it was. It didn't matter where she was. You could hear it, you knew automatically. And that's how she was all the time. And so this one time, I was talking to her, and I said a joke that really wasn't that funny. But she thought it was the greatest thing in the world, and just starts busting out laughing. And it's the kind of thing that if voice and projection and things like that had force, like my skin would have been ripped off. Because how excited her laugh was, and how exclamation it like just if you were able to put punctuation after everything she said, there'd be about 15 punctuation or exclamation points after each word. And how he was, she had a big mouth. And so today, though, I want to look at it and as a Christian and as we are looking at this, how Christian and with dealing with the Lord, it is a benefit to have a big mouth. So let's pray and then we'll get started. Dear Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that we have the opportunity to come here and we have the opportunity to learn about you. We have the message of your word and that we are able to look in here and figure out things that you have wanted for us, that you have wanted us to learn, that you have put down for the rest of time for us to know. I ask tonight that you give me the words to say and help those that are listening to apply what they have heard. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. And so the title this evening is, Do You Have a Big Mouth? And really it's kind of amazing how it worked out this way. And the idea here is dealing with prayer. I mentioned earlier about my cable system and the Super Bowl, things like that. When problems arise, when situations take place, there's a lot of prayer that happens, that takes place. And so tonight I want to look at and see how are you all doing with prayer, how are you praying, and specifically towards the kind of things that looking at with what Pastor Wright was this morning even is God wanting to show us what he's done for his people in the past and what promise that gives us for the future. And so Psalm 81, starting in verse 4, for this was a statute for Israel. And a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony. When he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not, I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pot. They call us in trouble, and I delivered thee. I understand thee in the secret place of the thunder. I prove thee at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall be no strange God. God in thee. Neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. So what is going here is it talks about the author of this particular psalm. It's not David. It's a different author, one of the few that were not written by him. And it's going through, and it's showing two specific things. The first thing it shows is God's past actions towards his people. And the first example there that he gives is God looking at his people saying, I have helped you in the past. I have done things for you. And you see that in verse 6. It says from there that I have removed his shoulder from the burden. This morning we were reading through the account there of the Ten Commandments and the burden that the Israelites had when they were upon them, about the straw being taken away, the taskmasters doubling the work and still expecting it all to be done. The cities, it talks, there's two places in there that talks about the cities that the Israelites built. That burden there, that oppression that was put on them, it says God delivered them from them. He took that burden off of their shoulders. There's many times in my life that I can look at just situations, whether I ask for it or not, that God has taken the burdens off of my shoulders. You all understand what that's like, the going through there and going through life, and something comes up. You don't understand the situation, why. You don't understand what the Lord is trying to do. But it comes to the fact that in the end, the Lord will remove that burden. We talked about Job a few weeks ago in the Sunday services with the same thing. He went through those incredible trying times, those burdens. But in the end, the Lord was faithful there. He took that burden off. And so, what he's showing here, Egypt is often viewed as the world, the oppression there that we face. If you are saved, you have had an incredible burden taken off of your shoulders. The story of Pilgrim's Progress that is there has the incredible example of that, that Christian is walking around before he becomes Christian with this incredibly large pack on him. It calls it his burden. But when he comes to the cross, when he comes there and sees that, that burden of sin, that burden of pain and oppression there falls off of him. If you have been saved, if you've given your soul over to Christ and accepted him as your Savior, then an amazing burden has already been taken off of you, has already been removed from your shoulders. And that's something that is just amazing to think about, from what Christ did there for us with removing that burden. But it also said that he removed from the burden, but if you look in chapter or verse 6, it says in the second half that the hands were delivered from the pots. And that has the idea, and it's kind of interesting, that it wasn't just the great burdens that they were delivered from there. They were delivered from the little things as well. It's one thing that the Lord's really been teaching me over the past several years is his verse that casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. We know that verse. Many of us could quote it, you know the reference, you understand it. But we miss a little, so often, a three-letter word that is in there. All of your cares. Casting all of them there. When I was in college, I would go through and we would give like a prayer before a quiz or a big test or final, something like that. But how often I would be reminded of just putting the little things on God. He wants all of our cares there. And just like he did for the Israelites here by removing their hands from the pot, he will do the same thing for us. He will remove that from us, those small burdens, by casting them on him. He has done that in the past. So he doesn't, with what he's done, he doesn't just let us sit there in the mire of our sin and our self-pity and that burden there. He saves us, our soul, the big burden. But he also doesn't just save us and then leave us there. He moves us along the path. He moves us forward. He saves us from the little things, the fiery darts of the devil that come after us and that come at us every single day. And again, you understand that. You understand the temptations that we face from God or from Satan, that those burdens, those little things that come there, that if telling anybody else, it almost feels inconsequential to them. Like, for instance, one occurrence that could happen is losing your keys. Well, that can happen. It's stressful to you, kind of thing, and people can relate to that. But how often when we lose our keys or something like that, our first reaction is we go around, we look for it, we can't find them, we start stressing out, we start freaking out. But we don't go to God over that. And not just that, I'm not encouraging this kind of thing, but when a family member falls sick, when somebody does have a big test or they're going through a lot of pressure, we'll ask for prayer from other people. But with something little, like losing your keys, we don't even think about asking other people to pray for that, to look for those kind of things, because of how, in our eyes, how small that seems, how inconsequential. But again, that is a care there, that God says, throw all your cares upon me. He shows us back in Egypt that he delivered them from all of it and brought them, was bringing them to the promised land. And then look again at verse 10 here. It talks about, he says, I am the Lord thy God.
And
one thing I like about the King James Version is that it goes through, and every time that God's proper name is used for Yahweh or Jehovah, it's the four capitals. Capital L-O-R-D is used there. And that's what God is saying here. He's saying, I am Jehovah. I am your personal God, the one and only God, and I delivered you out of Egypt.
And
something that we look at it as, if a human was to say this, it would be boastful, saying, I was the one that did something great. I was the one that was amazing in this circumstance. I helped you. I was the one that went through there and did all of this. But with God, it's not boasting. He is simply stating to the Israelites, to the people here, that I was the one who delivered you. It wasn't, it talked about earlier, any of these strange gods or any of these false things that you worship. It wasn't any of them, it was me. It was Jehovah, it was Yahweh that delivered you from Egypt. And so he's going there, and he's reminding them of that act of grace that he showed there. We just sang that verse there, or that song about God's grace, about what he did there, about what he chose to do. We talked about, Mr. Channel mentioned this morning in Sunday school, that grace is an unmerited favor. There is nothing that the Israelites had to offer God. There is nothing that we have to offer God. It's not like he goes through with a checklist and says, okay, Aaron Sawyer will be a good one to get saved because she can help me this way. Or Nancy Lambert or Brandon Garments. He doesn't go through and say, these people will benefit me. He's saying, I want to benefit them. I want to help them in their lives by saving them, by helping them there, and reminding them of that grace that he showed them. And so, going into this, going into the second half here, about with what God is saying, just past actions, reminding us what he did, remove the big burden of sin, of that terror there that was upon us, and then also remove the small burdens that we also face. So we had God's past action there, but now we have God's present order. And it says in verse 8 of chapter 81, it says, hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. The word hearken has the idea of focusing, of submitting, of looking towards something and completely going towards it, completely putting yourself there. You're paying attention to it. And that's what God is telling to them. He says, look to me, hearken unto me, Israel. And with that, it also has the type of thing of not being distracted. How often are we distracted in our daily lives? With either things that are inconsequential or things that actually would matter. Like the for instance, you have different TV shows, you have friends, you have different even bills and situations like that, where some things do matter, relationships do matter, you do have to pay your bills, things like that. But when we are going through our lives, when we are looking toward God, we are distracting ourselves with so many things in our lives. I can be personal testament to that, of going through and needing to do one thing and completely forgetting about it, being distracted from it. When I was in college, my freshman year, we had in English 102 a 10-page paper that was due. And that's a lot of work and everything, but with English 102, that was the basic grammar and composition class you had to take before you go on to any other grammar classes. And so this big paper that you had here was the kind of paper that if you had two comma slices or two verb adverb disagreements or adjective noun disagreements, you failed the paper. Kind of thing. Like it was, you completely failed it. Didn't matter how else the rest of it was. If you had two of those type of major mistakes, they called it, major errors, you'd fail the paper.
Well,
I woke up one day, and the paper was due on Wednesday. So I wake up on Tuesday, and I'm going through my day, and go to different classes. I go to everything I needed to do, and I'm focusing on that. And then that night in prayer group, I give a prayer request and say, hey, my paper's due tomorrow. I just want to ask the Lord to help me finish up the final correction, have everything done in that way. And so the guys, they all either taken 102 or were part of 102. So they all understood the stress that was on there. And so that night, after prayer group was done, I went back to my room, and I'm laying in my bed. I don't remember what I was doing, but I'm laying there on Tuesday night, and I'm thinking, all right, I got to get this done. I got to finish this paper. And then it just kind of clicked. I was like, wait, today's Wednesday. I completely missed my class on Wednesday, English 102. I was so worried about getting my paper done that I forgot what day of the week it was. And thankfully, after talking to my professor and getting things worked out there, I didn't get penalized from it. But I was so distracted by something that was important, something that needed to get done, that I missed what was even more important, was turning the paper in on time. And so with that there, with our lives, we get distracted, we get bogged down by different things. And the Israelites, when they were leaving Israel, or leaving Egypt, they talked about and complained to Moses, saying that they missed the leeks and the garlic, that they got distracted by the relative good food that was there, that they missed the chaos and turmoil that they had just escaped from. With our lives, what are we allowing ourselves to be distracted by, while yet at the same time not seeing the great blessings that God is trying to give us, like you see the Israelites there? So God's present order there, he says, hearken unto me, give me your attention. But then in verse 10, and this is where I really want to focus on tonight, is, and where I got the title for the sermon, was, Do You Have a Big Mouth?
It
says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. The idea here is, ask me for what you need, for what you want. Ask me for anything. When you all have seen videos or pictures, when a mother bird comes back to the nest, and there's the new birds, the baby birds that are born there, that have hatched out of their shells, the mama bird has a worm, and she's about to drop it in there. The babies have their mouths completely open. They're open as wide as they can go because they want to get fed. They want that nourishment there. They're hungry for it. They're not sitting there and you don't have to see one off on the side a little melancholy and be like, I don't really want worms today. I just can't do it. Go ahead. You guys can go get the worm, but I'm going to try to find something else that will help me. You don't see them doing that. And that's how it is in our Christian life. When we are looking at a situation where, spiritually speaking, we look at it and say, I'm just not feeling like going to church today. All right, you guys can go to church today, but I'm going to find something else that will satisfy me. I'll find someone else that will satisfy me. There is nothing else that will satisfy. There's nothing else that will do that. God tells us to open our mouths wide here, to cast all of our cares upon Him. And we're looking there. And again, he's not wanting to give us a little nibble of the, if you will, the worm there. The mama bird's not like, okay, I'm only giving this bird here, this little, I don't know if they're not chicks, but this little baby bird, I'm only going to give him a little bit and give the other ones a whole bunch because I want to bless you. I want to make these blessings abound. Another way of visualizing this is with a small human child as well. When they are hungry and they're sitting in their booster seats, in their, what are they called? Booster seats. High chairs. Thank you. They're sitting in their high chairs and they've got, I don't know, their baby food all over their face and all over the tray and everything like that. And the mom's coming in or the dad's coming in with another spoonful. Like, they'll sit there and they go, and the mom will go in and, you probably shouldn't do this because it's mean, but it's also funny. If you take the spoon and the baby is sitting here like this, and the baby, it comes and you move the spoon this way, the baby will go, and then you move it back over here and the baby will go, like, you can do that. And I used to do it to my dog as well. I mean, yes, I was teasing the dog, but it was hilarious. Like, I would have the cookie or whatever, and my dog would be looking up at me, just looking at me, licking his lips every now and then. I'd take the cookie and I'd go,
往这边移，他就到处往上。我走到哪，
he would do that.
就怎么看。
But see, God doesn't do that to us.
神不
会像这样对我。He doesn't sit there and say, hey, I have a blessing for you, but I'm going to tease you with it first.
我来先
I'm going to mess around with you until you really, really want it, and then I'll give it to you.
你真正想要
的，
我再给你。
He doesn't do that. He's sitting there saying, take it. Take the blessing that I have for you. It's here. It's for the taking. It's for you. I want to give it to you.But instead, we're the ones sitting there with our mouths closed, like a small child, or how I picture Pastor Wright if he was being fed vegetables, kind of thing. You know, sitting there, the mouth closed, not wanting to do it, type of thing. And having it there, with the child, the small child, the parent is trying all these things. You know, they got the helicopter, the airplane, or the train coming in, trying to get the kid interested in it. God is trying to get us interested in His blessings. He wants us to have them. He has shown in the past that the small child doesn't understand this food is going to help me. And we are looking at it, and God is looking at it saying, I want to give this to you. Open your mouth wide so that I can fill it.He is telling us that if we open up to Him and His Word, we will be blessed. And so with that in mind, there are many different things we're able to do that with. Again, you can do that with schooling, with tests, or with different activities, different projects, things you have to do, with workplace.Even simply asking the Lord to help you with different things there, with how circumstances are taking place. And it doesn't always have to be a long, drawn-out prayer. Turn to Nehemiah, the beginning of Nehemiah, to show you this. And when this was pointed out to me, it was amazing from what I see here. And it says...Let's see, in Nehemiah chapter 2, and start at verse 1. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1. Says, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been beforetime sad in his presence.Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. And said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? And the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request?So I prayed unto the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, If it please the king, if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. Verse 4 there, it says, And then the king said unto me, What hast thou make request? So I prayed unto the God of heaven. And then verse 5 starts again immediately with, And I said unto the king,When we are looking to God, when we're asking Him for help, we're trying to get things figured out, trying to figure out what's going on there, we don't have to have a long, drawn-out prayer. We don't have to do it that way. Right here, Nehemiah gives, it just says he gave a short prayer. He said that he prayed unto God to heaven. He was asked a question, he prayed very short, and then answered back the king, is what he did here.And there's so many times that I've done that. When something happens, when somebody will say something to me that I need to give a good answer to, or I don't understand the situation, and I'll pray back and I'll say, Lord, help me with this. Give me courage for this, and then I'll go for it. The times that I most often give these prayers is when times of answering back a question, a biblical question, or witnessing kind of thing. When unexpectedly somebody else brings up the topic of God. And with that there, when that happens, when that comes up, usually we're often surprised by that. And when it is somebody else who you don't think is watching or is not sure, they bring it up, and you pray to God, say, God, help me, give me the words, and then you answer back to them. And then when you are doing that, that is often, in our times of peril like that, that our mouths are most wide, that we are wanting the blessing from God, the biggest there. And so with what God is saying here, God is saying to us, He's saying, open your mouths wide, and I will fill it. I will give you the desires of your heart. The Lord, like I said, is wanting to bless us immensely. There's a song that was stuck in my mind when I was reviewing this. It talked about raindrops of blessings around, raindrops, showers of blessings is the song. That, and it talked about how raindrops are falling, but the showers of blessings are what we need. God is wanting to shower us. He's wanting to give us that, to lay everything there. But we have to do our part as well. He's not going to give something to somebody who's ungrateful, who is, as it talks about in Psalm there, that is, has a strange God. There's the image that I try to often to express the most often is the heart, the throne of our heart. The devil and our flesh doesn't want to put God and number 50 on our list. All the devil has to do is take God out of first place, and he has effectively damaged our relationship there. But if we are sitting there with our mouths open, with our hearts wide, with our minds ready to be changed, to be blessed by God, God has told us, he's promised here in us in Psalms, that he will bless us. And that he is wanting and willing to give us in that way. And so, just as you go throughout your week this week, as you go throughout your day tomorrow, think about this. Think on these things. And remembering that with what God has said to us, he says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But the problem is here, often that's not where it ends. If you look at verse 11, turn back to Psalm 81, verse 11. God has told his people, open your mouth wide, and I will bless you. I will give you the desires. I am ready to do that for you. I want to do that for you. But verse 11 is often where we find ourselves. It says, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them up unto their own hearts' lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also the finest of the wheat, and the honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. With looking at that there, so often we try to do things our own way. And it's not even a conscientious thing, no God, I don't need your help, I can do it better. It's just that we don't even think about going to him. But the Israelites, it shows here that he says, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and they would have none of me. And it's, you can almost hear God lamenting. He's saying in verse 13 that he would have hearkened unto them again, and he would have done it for them. It talks about he would have subdued their enemies. He would have given them blessings. They would have eaten of the finest wheat and giving them honey from the rocks or the wild honey there. Are we the ones that are hardening instead of hearkening? Our church will not be one to grow, will not be one to blossom for God if we are continually hardening our hearts as individuals. Often our church is called, churches are called a family of Christ. It is a flock kind of thing. When one or two people in a family are having a issue, when they're having difficulty, it will affect the whole family. When somebody is disgruntled about something else, because they have hardened their heart about something, the whole family will feel that effect. If we are going to be a church that when people hear about us, when we ourselves come to it, and this goes down from the youngest into the teenagers, into the young adults, into the parents, and into the senior saints, all of us have to be opening our mouths wide and hearkening and submitting to God. Because if we do not, God will give us over to our own desires. And that's one of the worst things that can happen to us. When, not saying that we'll lose our salvation, but that God is going to say, okay, go ahead. You will suffer the consequences of your choices. And that's not what God wants. He is saying to them, hearken unto me, open your mouth, and I will fill it. And so many times, I have many friends that I grew up with, that I look at them now, and sadly, they're a sermon illustration about somebody who knew the right thing, who was taught the right thing, who did the right thing externally. But once they got out from underneath their parents, or even once they got out from being able to make their own choices, once they were able to do that, they turned their backs on God completely. Like I said, it's another illustration, another number of somebody who has turned their back on God. And that can happen to anybody at any point in their life. But to keep that from happening, God tells us, you should open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. I will give you the blessing. Hearken unto me, and I will help you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that you are willing and wanting to give us the blessings that you have had for us. The idea that, and the thought and the promise that you are there to provide for us, to take care of us, and all we have to do is to hearken, to submit to you. I ask that you would give us, as we go throughout our day tomorrow, as our week, throughout our lives, so we remember that you want the best for us. You want us to be relying on you in everything that we do.
Just
keep that in the forefront of our minds, that we can call on you, that we have to open up and allow you to bless us, Lord. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. If you take out your hymnals and turn to the song I mentioned, The Showers of Blessing. It is